Welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week is brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight is Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Tonight it's a huge CCL battle as DeSales hosts Hartley. And now here's Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf with the CCL Football Game of the Week.
Ryan, thank you indeed. This is a huge game, and Larry, you look at it. Where do you start? DeSales, number one in the state in Division III, also a power in the computer rankings. Hartley, number five in the state in Division IV. And you look at Hartley, and with the way their schedule maps out, they may need this game more than DeSales. What thoughts go through your mind? Also, the unofficial, perhaps in the eyes of some, CCL championship game.
Right. This harkens back to 30 years of old-time CCL football. I mean, this is just going to be a Friday night bashing. Both sides do exactly the same things, exactly the same way, and it's basically the irresistible force, the movable object. Well, I'm not sure who goes to which one, but somebody's going to move tonight, and somebody's going to win it, and I don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be that close.
For a history teacher, that wasn't bad science, sir.
Scary, isn't it?
It is indeed. Well, it's a great night for football here at Alumni Stadium. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get inside the minds of both of the head coaches from DeSales and Hartley to find out what they're thinking minutes before the kickoff here. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today. And go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people, with the highest levels of skill, training, and experience, and why we invest in the best equipment, from life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home. So you can get better. So you can live, work, play, love. Mount Carmel, because of you.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Bishop Hartley Hawks, the one and only Brad Birchfield. And coach, kind of assess the team now. We know what happened in week number one. We had you on in week number two on AMA 20 when you got the win over Central Crossing. What happened in week three against the Red Devils?
We really were dominant. We played well right from the start. Defensively, we continued to get better. Offensively, you know, we really had a great game out of so many runners and so much of the offensive line. It was great. Last time we were playing Marion Franklin, so it was great to get a win and end the series 4-0.
Let's talk about the health of some of the guys. We didn't see Jake Ruby in week number two against Central Crossing. Is he full bore and ready to go?
He looks to be full bore, and I know he's excited. He was not as good as what he wished he would have been a year ago against St. Francis DeSales, so he's looking to make up for tonight.
Can you talk about the play of Marquette Dixon? I mean, he has really stepped to the forefront on both sides of the football. Is that difficult for a young man to do?
Oh, it's incredibly difficult, and as a coach, you're always worried if you're giving him too much. You know, we're all, you know, these are human beings out there, and these are children, so you always worry you're giving them a little too much, but he has worked his behind off to put himself in this position. You know, he's got lofty goals, and he just didn't make goals and then got tired. You know, he has stayed true to these goals, and I'm so proud of him and so excited to see how he's grown, and obviously a great, great football player.
Do you have all the weapons you would like to see on offense right now?
Yeah, well, we do. We have, I think we're getting out of what we have to work with. You know, a lot of guys have a lot of different roles, and similar to our opponent tonight, honestly, and we're excited how they've embraced them.
Let's talk about the game tonight. Obviously, we know what happened last year with the Stallions. When you think about this matchup, what thoughts go through your mind, either as you look at the recent past or what you have to do tonight to be victorious in the contest?
I don't think we think too much about the recent past. They're such a good football team. I mean, they are one of these rare football teams that's good in every position. You know, offense, defense, special teams, skilled players up front, well-coached, goes without saying. You know, they're just really, really good. So our attention has been, you know, we don't have a weak spot on them, so our attention has been we've got to be better than them. You know, we have to play better. That's the only answer.
Are they a different-looking Stallion team than what you've seen in the past?
You can tell they've emphasized more balance. You know, they're throwing the ball more than what they have in the past. They're throwing it on first down more. And I always hear Coach Wolf talk about us throwing it on first down, so we don't listen to him, but it sounds like DeSales is because they're throwing it on first down quite a bit. And, you know, they have multiple running backs that they are running, whether it is Asamoah, who would be a featured back on any team, or Booth, who would be a featured back. And then they do a great job of getting the other guys involved as well.
Finally, is this what high school football is all about tonight?
I think so. These are two great teams and a lot of history and tradition. You know, you throw out the blue and the purple on the field, and they're six state championships. And, you know, I lose track what 13 state championship game appearances. I think it's a tradition that's unrivaled in Central Ohio between these two schools.
Coach, good luck tonight.
All right, thank you.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week. It's presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Double-digit pay raises are history. Now money's a lot harder to get a hold of and even harder to hang on to. That's why State Farm agent Kevin Smith would like to offer you a free discount double check. He'll go through your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discount you deserve and aren't leaving any money on the table. So call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today, because being there to help you keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic university, with an education that stretches your mind and strengthens your Catholic faith.
U.S. News and World Report calls ODU a top-tier Midwest university.
High-achieving students will want to explore our honors program or early admission programs to med school or physician assistant studies.
And some of our master's programs, including our MBA, are available with just one extra year of study.
Connect your passion with God's purpose for your life.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Our pricing is about half of new. Think about it. If we sell you a product at a great price and it is very reliable, well, that makes you a happy customer. Which explains why over the past few years, Miracle Motor Mart has become the largest independent dealer by the number of vehicles sold in the state of Ohio. Listen, go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Stallions, Ryan Wiggins. And coach, I would assume you're very happy with your start on the campaign. For those that are just joining in and don't know much about the Stallions, talk about the season so far.
I think we're off to a good start. To be 3-0 is a good way to start the year, but I've been happy with the way we've started games. We've really gotten off to a good start in all three games in terms of field position with our special teams, our defense being able to pin opponents deep, our offense being able to turn good field position into some points. So we've played well. We've been fairly consistent. We've done well in the turnover margin, and you know, I think those are the biggest reasons we're off to a good start.
Can you talk about the adjustments and the comfort level now of Cole Silvestri at quarterback?
Well, we're comfortable with him. I think he does a good job of getting rid of the ball. He gets it out fast, you know, and just getting more continuity with the offense from the guys up front to the guys in the backfield and his receivers. So we're growing as an offense, and I think it's a collective effort, not just one person, but all 11. And I like the way they're coming together. The best thing they've done, in my opinion, is they've done a good job in the area of turnovers, and that has to continue.
Is the combo of Booth and Osamoah one of the best combos you've had in the backfield?
I would say so. You know, I tend to judge things after the fact, you know, looking back, but certainly both have some size and some speed and some ability. They're a nice 1-2 punch, and so far they're performing well, and I hope they can continue to perform well.
Let's talk about the contest tonight against Hartley. Big win for you guys there last year. What thoughts go through your mind when you think about the Hawks overall and this contest tonight?
Well, it's a big game. I mean, it's a fun game for everybody involved, the players, the coaches, the students, the communities. It's a big game in terms of the success we've had and the success they've had. And certainly the last few years, nobody's done any better than they have. So it was nice to beat them last year, but it's a new year. And here we are. We're both have high expectations for our teams, and we get to face off and see what we got. I think when it's all over, there's going to be a good team that comes out of this that still has a chance to have a great year. But, you know, tonight will be two good teams clashing, no question.
How much of a challenge do they pose for your defense?
Big challenge. They have game breakers all over the field at every position. Their quarterback's a three-year guy. They've got receivers who can stretch the field, guys who can get to the perimeter fast, and they're obviously a great downhill power team. So I would say they're a very, very explosive offense and one that'll challenge us. It'll push every part of the field.
I say number one team of the state, and you say?
Well, you know, to me, when you play for those things, when you have tournaments, I'm not sure that kind of stuff matters. Someone told me today, I really don't pay attention to that. We have to win games and get computer points before any of that's even talked about. So I'm happy with our start, and if we can keep it going, then we'll be excited. But a lot of work to be done in between now and then.
Coach, good luck tonight.
All right, thanks.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
The family-run Carfagna's Kitchen offers the best in casual, full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Carfagna Kitchen's weekly specials include Mondays, $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday is dollar glass wine night, and Thursday's prime rib night with two sides for under $19. Carfagna's Kitchen is located one block east off I-71 on Polaris Parkway.
How would you answer this question? What is truth? Would you ignore it? Would you let someone else answer it? We're called to stand up for the truth, especially in a confused world. Souls need you to stand up for the truth. Stand up for the truth by supporting St. Gabriel Catholic Radio this week with a financial gift. Through your support, the truth continues to reach many souls every hour of every day. Call 614-459-4820 or go online at stgabrielradio.com.
Week four of the high school football season is upon us, and man, do we have a big one in our CCL football game of the week. It's the number one team in the state in Division III, St. Francis DeSales, hosting the number five team in Division IV, the Bishop Hartley Hawks. Hello, everyone. It's Ryan Baker back in the AM 820 studios. Let's get you caught up on what's going on this evening for the area Catholic teams outside of our CCL Game of the Week. In Week 4, a lot of area teams starting league play, and that is the case for St. Charles tonight as they are on the road at Hagley Field to take on Waterson in the first CCL Silver matchup of the year. Bishop Reedy is on the road taking on Lima Central Catholic, and Newark Catholic looks to remain undefeated, traveling to Licking Heights. Fisher Catholic, they're looking for their first win of the season on the road at Millersport tonight. A couple big games in the OCC. Dublin Scioto's at Dublin Jerome. Hilliard Darby is at Hilliard Bradley. Thomas Worthington at Worthington Kilborn. In the City League, you got Marion Franklin taking on Walnut Ridge. Columbus Academy's at Grandview in the Mid-State League. Gahanna's at New Albany. Groveport's at Pick Central. Pick North is at Westerville Central. Central Crossing at Reynoldsburg. Olentangy at Dublin Kaufman. And Hilliard Davidson's at Olentangy Liberty. And don't forget, get all the scores tonight after the game with the AM 820 scoreboard show. Let's head out to Alumni Stadium right now to Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf for the CCL football game of the week.
And Ryan, let's just put rivalry week, because we got a lot of them on the schedule when you take a look at it. So, by the way, DeSales won the toss and deferred. Hartley will receive going from right to left. 84 degrees, wind from the east at 3 miles an hour. It feels like it's from the east at half a mile an hour. But it is a little on the sultry side tonight, so it should be a lot of fun. DeSales, again, wins the toss, and they're going to wait until the second half. So DeMacia will have it teed up at the 40-yard line.
And then sweated out some anxious moments late and held on.
Sultry?
Yes.
It gets hot. Doggone hot.
His first victory.
So, Twin safeties back deep for the Hawks at around the 20-yard line.
But came up with a school record tying 5 interceptions to stop at least comeback bid.
And again, DeSales will do that run up. They're in the purple jerseys with the white pants. The Hawks all in white with the blue numerals. Blue stripes and red stripes on the shoulders as well. The crowd still filing in to Alumni Stadium on a great night for high school football. Underway week number 4 of the CCL Game of the Week. And the return is not going to happen. We're going to have a touchback as Manley has to retreat to the end zone. So we'll bring the ball out to the 20-yard line, and that's where the Hawks will start on offense. Up front in the interior five, it is Jordan Smith along with Thomas Kazmir, Max Steinecker, Cody Kirkbride, and Adam Cohn. Tight end is Jordan Kirkbride. Split in is Jaden Manley. The quarterback, Jake Ruby. Fullback, Nick Onaga, along with Nick Cohn at times. Marquette Dixon's the halfback. Wingback is Cameron Culver. They go with two wide to the bottom and a slot man as well, too. In the backfield, it is Nick Cohn on this first down play behind Jake Ruby from the 20-yard line. Glad to have you aboard week number 4 of the game of the week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Dixon in motion. Handoff goes to Cohn. Just bites his way right up the gut for a yard or two, maybe across the 22-yard line. It'll be second down from there defensively for the Stallions. Brian Wiggins runs that. He's got Drew McLucky up front along with Darius Mullins, Luke Barber, and Brandon Darrow. The linebackers are Ryan Corcoran along with Ty Van Fossen and Brian Asamoah. The secondary is Joe Arnold along with Chris McNally, Jared Noble, and Andre White in the secondary. Gain of 2, second and 8 from there. Half a minute gone in the first quarter.
Hartley has such tight splits that there's four defenders from DeSales in there, and they almost look like they're shoulder to shoulder. And what happened on that play was, because they're so tight, Drew McLucky could come around the edge and make the tackle from behind. So that's something to watch. If Hartley can't punch a hole in the middle, DeSales is going to get him from the backside all night.
Culver semi-wide to the bottom. Cohn on a wing. They're going to go from top to bottom and whip down. Huge tackle that time, but the penetration coming through was Brian Asamoah, the outside backer, and he did a little rodeo whip down on the play.
That looked like WWF, a suplex almost. I mean, he picked him up off the ground, and he didn't dump him on his head, but he threw him down like a rag doll.
Asamoah with 3 solos, 4 assists, 1.5 tackles for loss coming into this contest. Make it 2.5 now, and mark the ball back inside the 20-yard line, back to the 19, third down and 11.
DeSales isn't overly big. They have, obviously, Darius Mullins, 6'5", 320, but the rest of them are long and lean. They're rangy.
Third down, Culver in motion. He's a wing to the bottom, one wide out to the top, one back in the backfield. Ruby rolls to his right, looks, guns downfield on the out pattern, pass incomplete. Was there contact? I thought there was before the ball got there. A reach around with the arm. Going to be called on Joe Arnold. And by the way, we're just past the top of the hour. You're listening to WVSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. What was your take on that, Larry?
Well, he played through the back of the receiver, but he did have his inside arm. I mean, he was clearly playing the football, and there was contact. Now, sometimes you get that call, sometimes you don't get that call. And I'm not sure he even had to be that tight on him, because the ball, while it was on target, he had good position. He could have inside-armed that, and he'd been fine.
Your referee tonight is Mark Riley. Umpire Brian Carpenter. Your linesman is Nate Filkins. Line judge is John Clay. The back judge is Kurt Schooley. Pass interference is the call. Move the ball up to the 33-yard line, actually closer to the 34. First and 10 from there. I will say that I thought he wrapped the arm way before the ball got there, so I thought it was a good call. Blackman in motion.
Hartley had max protection on that time. They only had a one-man route. Jaden Manley was the only one in the route.
Cohn leaves the backfield, student body right, and Culver going to throw it downfield for Manley. The pass incomplete. He just kind of pushed that ball downfield, intended on the play from Manley, but close to the football and getting his paws on it was Andre White in the secondary.
A little trickeration here, a little toss, sweep, halfback pass from, and the ball was actually on target, surprisingly so. It was on target, and the defender made a good play on the ball.
It wasn't your prototypical toss by a quarterback. It was more of a push of the football downfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he pushed it some 15 to 20 yards. It falls incomplete. Could have been caught, could have been intercepted, and now it's going to be second down and 10 from the 34. Some of the smoke from the cookout is now working its way methodically and gently across the field.
Well, also, Hartley had a whiteout when the game started. They threw powder up in the air, and I think that's field.
Ooh, I smell it, too. It's baby powder.
Baby powder. So we'll come home smelling a little less gamey than normal.
A little less.
A little less.
Second out of 10. Calder readjusts the bottom. Backs are offset again. Two. One man in motion, top to bottom. It's Manley this time. Gets the handoff in stride across the 35. 40. Up to the 45. Cuts it back. Midfield has a gap. He's got the angle to the 35. The 30 looks for a cut back and probably would have been better served to keep it outside, but gets it down to the 26-yard line before Jaden Manley is brought down on the play.
Drew McLuckie on the tackle. He came all the way back from his defensive end position about 34, 35 yards. I guess it was a 41-yard run, huh?
Picks up 41 indeed, so it'll be first and 10 from the 26-yard line as Manley comes up with a big play. He did have four catches for 164 yards, all those coming in the first game against Toledo Central Catholic, including a 58 and 59-yard touchdown catch.
The Sales was misaligned that time on the defense because they had no corner out here. They had no edge protector, and Hartley just walled him inside and got to the corner.
Conan Blackman offset in the backfield. A lot of Blackman early on in the backfield. He gets the toss right now off the left side, and he stood up right at the line of scrimmage. In fact, a lot of Blackman and no Marquette Dixon, really.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that, but maybe there's a story there.
So it'll be second down. And they're going to mark the ball at the 25-yard line and give him forward progress of 1 yard, second and nine from there. Dixon is now into the contest. He's checked in. Blackman's checked out.
Nick Cohn is in as well.
Yep, he's been in there. We haven't seen much of Nick Onaghi yet early on. This time Dixon will be the deep back, and they'll go triple stack to start it with Culver up front and Cohn in the middle, then Dixon in back. Culver exit stage right. Little play action. Ruby rolling right, looking, gunning downfield. Quick flick of the wrist, and the pass is complete at the 16-yard line. Culver on the catch, and while Culver pushed the ball when he threw it, Ruby just kind of flicked his wrist.
Well, Ruby's a pretty good baseball player. I mean, he's got a good arm, got a good quick release, and Hartley's throwing the ball a couple times here, which is not necessarily surprising.
8 of 10 on the play. Ruby, a committee to play baseball at Ohio State. Great outfielder for the Hawks as well, too. First and 10 from the 15. 8:34 and ticking first quarter.
But if Hartley continues to throw the ball on early downs, it's going to keep this DeSales defense in check.
Ruby from a pistol set this time. He realigns Culver to the bottom of the formation. One wide to the top. They're going to hand it off. It's Dixon, and he just kind of plows forward and falls with the pile inside the 13 to around the 12-yard line before he's knocked down on the play. Some good penetration there for the Stallions in the person of number 61 on the play, and that is Luke Barber.
Well, Luke Barber and Darius Mullins have to hold down the inside on this quick dive play and those kinds of things. They have to keep Hartley from pushing the middle, and then DeSales can get him from the outside.
Gain of 3 to the 12, second and 7 from there as we take down under 8 minutes left to go. First quarter, glad to have you aboard on stgabrielradio.com and AM820 as well, too. Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, Greg Savaldi back in the studio, Ryan Baker, and Lee Cochran. Culver in motion, toss, sweep, near side. It goes to Dixon. He's got an opening to the 10. To the 5, flag down. He's into the end zone for a touchdown, but there's a flag resting back at the 7-yard line, and it could be coming back. And it will be coming back because holding is the call against the Hawks.
Cameron Culver got a good grab on the edge, and he really didn't need to. And he just reached out and grabbed the defender, and he didn't need to do it because it looked like Marquette was going to take it in the end zone anyhow.
Culver with hands to his face. He's got a towel right now as he kind of punishes himself, took the towel and kind of whapped himself in the face once, and the penalty's going to mark the ball back all the way to the 18-yard line and negate the touchdown, according to Mark Riley.
Well, those are the kinds of things that you can't do in games like this. Take the 4-yard gain, take the 3-yard gain, whatever it is, but you can't take the 10 or 12-yard loss because of a penalty.
So it goes back to the 18-yard line. It'll be second and 13 from there with 7:31 left to go. Running play or passing play, do you think, here, Coach?
Running play.
Culver to the bottom of the formation, tosses the towel now away.
At least a sprint out type of running play where you give Ruby the option.
Manley is wide at the top. Dixon to the right of Ruby. Culver in motion. Little counter play goes to Dixon off the left side and fights his way inside the 10. Some bad tackling by the Stallions gets him all the way down to the 9, maybe the 8-yard line. Looked like they had him around the 15.
They did, and they just thought he would go down. This is one of those games you can't think anything. You just play to the whistle, all out. Don't assume anything.
Ball just inside the 10 market at the 9-yard line. That's going to be third down and just about 4 from there. Approaching 7 minutes left to go as the bell tolls here at Alumni Stadium. For whom does it toll? For thee?
I hope not.
It's Culver to the top, Manley to the bottom, Dixon in the backfield. In front of him is Cone, offset to the left. Ruby from the pistol set, going to keep it himself. Finds a gap inside the 10, inside the 5, down to the 2, to the 1. And does he break the plane? Touchdown. Jake Ruby takes it in with 6:38 left to go. And the Hawks with no flags on the board now at 6-0.
That was simply a fake of a jet sweep to the left. And what Ruby did was he just took it, and it was a quarterback counter back. He ran it between the guard and the tackle back on the right side, and there was a gaping hole. The linebacker tried to fill it, couldn't do it.
Takes him out of negative yardage rushing on the campaign, gives him his first touchdown on the ground, and gives the Hawks a 6-0 lead. And the youngster, Matteo Agresti, looking to go 14 of 15 on extra points in the early campaign. Hoffman to hold the snap, the kick, it is up, and it's good. Bishop Hartley on top of St. Francis to sail 7-0, 6:38 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school teams. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O. Online at salazzomarble.com. Arrivederci.
Just 3.5 minutes into the game, Devin Dukes rumbles 33 yards, and Reedy has an early 7-0 lead over Lima Central Catholic. And Johnstown is up 7-0 over Watkins Memorial.
And here, Jake Ruby takes it in from 9 yards out. Agresti with a PAT. That was a 10-play, 80-yard drive, Larry, that usurped 5:22 off the clock.
Well, both teams are going to try to do the same thing to each other. So if the sales can answer, you know, you're going to have, it's going to be one of those games where you might have four possessions and a half, maybe five.
Agresti kick it deep, or can here? Will he keep it short? It was with a high, somewhat angular kick that's going to be caught as they go out of bounds. Wow. I think Jared Noble would like that back as he kind of corralled that ball. That was the wide receiver in him coming out there, I think.
Yeah, just let that one go and you'd have the ball at the 35.
Instead, they'll be just past the 17-yard line. We'll mark it officially at the 18 with 6:37 left to go. And DeSales on offense for the first time up front in the interior five. It is James Gilmore, Joe DeSantis, Daniel Walsh, Omar Vargas, and Drew McLucky. The wide receivers, Chris McNally and Joe Arnold. The quarterback is Cole Silvestri. The backs include Alonzo Booth and Brian Asamoah. The slots include Ty Van Fossen and Jared Noble. If they go with a tight end, you go with Patrick Moriarty, Will Minick, or Ryan Corcoran. Right now, it's going to be Arnold to the bottom of the set. Backs from nine. Silvestri under center on this first down play from the 18-yard line. Rolls, looks downfield, wants to throw, and tucks. Gets it across the 20. Picks up three before he's chased out of bounds by Cody Kirkbride on the play. Defensively for the Hawks, Brad Birchfield is the D coordinator. Up front, it is Jordan Smith, Ethan Amaya, and Anthony Majewski. The linebackers on the outside are Manley and Cody Kirkbride, Boffman, James Reese, and Marquette Dixon in the inside. Elijah Carter and Jacob McFeeder at the corners, and free safety is Cameron Culver. Second down, we'll call it 7 from the 21. Arnold again, wide to the bottom, will keep it on the ground. This is Booth off the left side, little gap to the 23, puts his head down to the 24, and that'll be it.
Now what Booth did there was he was trying to pick his hole, and his feet got real quiet. Instead of just motoring through, leveling off with his shoulder pads and getting an extra two or three, he got tackled. And he's 240 pounds. If he just leans forward, it's going to be an extra 2 or 3 yards.
Ethan Amaya, the big defensive tackle, 7 solos, 11 assists, 4 tackles for a loss, makes the hit on the play at the 24-yard line. It'll be 3rd and 4 from there, halfway through the first quarter, and Hartley leads 7-0.
Unbalanced line to the right.
Mm-hmm. Backs from an eye, one wide out to the top. Toss goes to Booth. Right side, big gap. Nobody on the outside. Across the 30, the 35, and drags the defender all the way out to the 37-yard line before he's knocked down on the play by Elijah Carter coming up from the secondary, a gain of 13.
Elijah Carter is 6 feet, 170. Imagine what was going through his mind when he saw Booth, 6'1", 240, coming at him, running downhill.
It wasn't a magic carpet ride.
No. He's putting out the 911 call. Help.
Officials timeout. We have a little repair that has to be done to Alonzo Booth's shoulder pads underneath the right arm. And Cole Silvestri becomes a tailor and haberdasher here and starts to work on that. Pull your jersey down, Alonzo.
Nah.
Looks like Earl Campbell on a running
play. It does look like Earl Campbell. Big 34.
All bent out of shape. He still has the jersey all the way up.
If Jack Tatum shows up on the other side, we got something.
Oh, boy. First and 10. Toss sweep far side. Toss a little behind the intended man, but still coming up with it is Noble. And Noble is brought down in the backfield back at the 29-yard line.
Cody Kirkbride came through from his linebacker spot, and he did what we call pitchforking it. He ran the nearest possible pitchfork rung, the closest one, and he just got him. If he misses, it's down the sidelines. It's a great play by the linebacker.
Loss of 8 to the 29, second and 18. 5 minutes left to go first quarter.
Could be a screen pass here.
Two to the bottom, one to the top now. Widest to the top is Chris McNally. Backs from an eye. Sylvester under center. Cole going to hand it off. And they try to bounce it, and there's not much there for Noble. Got up to the 30-yard line. That's about it. Ryan Peeks on the carry. Peeks gets it up to the 31-yard line. Peeks is a guy that, coming into this contest, we talked about his career, a great basketball player, starter point guard, but a guy that kind of suffered through some injuries as well, too, had to deal with a concussion in the past.
Hartley's been doing a lot of run blitzing here. They sent two linebackers on that. I mean, second and forever, and maybe they thought it was going to be a pass, but they did a nice job of blitzing through.
So it'll be third down and 16. One wide to either side from the eye. The handoff, it goes to Booth. Booth, did he lose the football? No, he just jumped over a defender at the 30-yard line. The crowd got a big ooh out of that as the man looked nimble on his feet, but only got up to the 34. So could be fourth down and still long for the Stallions in a punting situation with 3:56 left to go in the quarter.
I'm not sure they weren't reacting to a run play on third and 14 or 15.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's the first quarter.
Absolutely.
But he did jump over a defender. And normally not the finesse you see from a guy at 6'1 and 245.
Thunder thighs, man. I'm telling you, he is a big, thick dude.
Mateo standing back at his own 20-yard line. Gets the snap, takes his time, and booms it. Turns it over. Cole wants it, and it dribbles by him on a big hop. Inside the 10, inside the 5, and rolls down to the 3-yard line. Well, turned it over, but still a line drive, and it went 63 yards with a hop at the end there of about 22 yards. So Hartley gets it back. That's the good news for them. The bad news, they're deep in their own territory with 3:20 left to go in the quarter.
Well, if DeSales is going to get the ball on the short side of the 50, this is the drive. Because if they let Hartley drive this thing down and score again, it's going to take up half the second quarter, too.
We'll need a shave. First and 97.
We'll be home by 9.
Dixon in the backfield. Blackman goes on a wing to the top. They readjust the tight end now to the far side of the field, too.
Get the scoreboard show ready early.
Live coverage of second quarter scores, right?
It could be true.
Back from an offset eye from the 3-yard line. Blackman casually walks from bottom to top. Toss sweep. It goes to Dixon. Dixon cuts it inside. Marquette, they strip the ball away. Scooped up finally by the Stallions. Waiting for the hop. They've got it at the 21-yard line. It's finally hunted down by Chris McNally. McNally and Andre White were trying to play the hop. That ball's been bouncing like the Super Bowl early on here between the punt and that play. And they literally just ripped it out of the arms of Marquette Dixon.
If either one of those two defenders had picked the ball up, there was nobody on this half of the field. They would have walked in for a touchdown. It'd be 7-7 right now. There was nobody home.
So here's that short field you were talking about for the Stallions to traverse. They've got it inside the 21-yard line. First and 10 after the turnover. 3:11 left to go.
I didn't think it'd be an 8-second drive, though.
No. Corcoran had tied into the bottom.
Unbalanced line here to the right.
Yes, sir. Toss to Booth. He'll go that way inside the 20. Puts his head down and burrows inside the 18 near the 17-yard line. A couple of guys giving up their bodies on the play for the Hawks, including Thomas Kazmir and Jack Boffman, the linebacker.
Now don't be surprised if the Sales doesn't fake the toss and come back with a counter to the short side of that four-man edge, because to the four-man side, it's hard to get outside. It takes longer to get out there. But to the two-man side, you can wall them down and bring a couple guys from the strong side to the weak side, and you might have a play.
How hard is this for a guy like Cole Silvestri, who really doesn't have a history in the series, to run a program like this?
If he wants to be the quarterback at DeSales, he'll learn in a hurry.
Okay.
That's just the reality, and he's obviously done that. So,
Corcoran on a wing to the bottom now. It'll be Booth on the delay. Cuts back from the left to the right side and puts his head down and finds the gap inside the 15 to near the 13-yard line. About a yard shy of the first down.
And it's four down territory anyhow. They're not going to kick it here. They need to tie this thing up. This is a golden opportunity for the Stallions.
Are you surprised by the amount of unbalanced line we've seen by the Stallions early on?
I just think they're trying to look at what Hartley's going to do to it. You know, they haven't done anything except toss sweep it to that side. So you know they're setting something up. They didn't come into this game with that one play for that one formation.
Arnold to the bottom. Corcoran on a wing to the top.
Four to the top. Unbalanced to the top.
Silvestri barking out signals. Now he's going to hand it off to Booth. Goes straight up the gut and spins away inside the 10. Carries defenders to the 9 and 8. They try to strip the ball. And he opts to go down at the 8-yard line. A little pirouette from the big man. Who again gets the woos and the ahs. And he's got enough for a first and goal Stallions.
Shades of Marion Motley for those old timers out there.
Wow.
Remember the old Cleveland Brown. I'm telling you what. He was bouncing around like a pinball. Yeah. A large pinball.
That was a good parallel, young man.
Scary.
Sound like Marty Brenneman. Young man, that was a good parallel.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
I mean, it got out of here in a hurry.
In a hurry.
First down and goal inside the 9-yard line for the Stallions now. Kai Van Fossen, the up back. Booth, the deep man. Booth's got it. Pushes, nothing there. Tries again, keeps fighting. And this will be a test for Alonzo Booth, too. Remember, DeSales lost running backs in the contest last year. Andrews went down. Booth had some problems. Asamoah had a bit of a coming-out party in this game last year.
Well, it was the backups who carried the day for DeSales last year because it looked like Hartley had total domination of the game. They were in charge, and all of a sudden, these young kids came in and made some plays.
Second and goal from the 5. We have an official's timeout on the field. We have a repair being made to the helmet of Marquette Dixon. And now we'll crank the clock again with 50 seconds and running.
That's not surprising. He hit Booth with everything he had. That helmet probably isn't. The warranty's out on that, baby.
We had a kid last night in our game take his helmet off to check it during the game. And then was surprised when he had to go out for a play.
It was probably his head wasn't right.
My head's ringing. I'm trying to answer it.
Hello.
Van Fossen again, the up back for Booth. From the eye set, Booth again, not this time. They stand him up. Boy, there was a triad waiting for him. Take your pick, Larry. There were a bunch of guys there. James Reese was there. Thomas Kazmir was there, among others, along with Marquette Dixon.
Well, Thomas Kazmir formed him up. I mean, he hit him chest to chest and stood him right up in the hole. Nobody blocked anybody on that side of the line that time. It just seemed like there was just no blocking going on at all for the Sales.
And the next play will come in the next quarter. Only one touchdown in the first 12 minutes. Ruby takes it in from 9 yards out. They get the PAT. And after one, Hartley leads 7-0 over to Sales on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
Well, the Reedy lead didn't last long. 3 minutes after Devin Duke's touchdown, Lima Central Catholic punches one in. They're all tied at 7 late in the first quarter.
After 12 minutes here, Hartley with 83 yards rushing, 10 yards passing for 93 yards total offense. The Sales, 30 yards of offense all on the ground. 4 first downs to 2 in favor of the Hawks. 1 penalty for 10 for Hartley, 1 for 15 for the Sales, and the 1 turnover, the fumble by Marquette Dixon. And now the Stallions going from right to left to start the second quarter, facing a third down and goal from back at the 8-yard line. You think it's time to put it up?
Yeah, maybe play action here. You got man-on-man coverage out there on the right side. Bootleg
to the left.
Inside.
He rolls, he tucks, gets inside the 5-yard line, and the ball's free at the end of the play, but I think they're going to say he's down.
He's down at the 2-yard line.
Silvestri with the boot that time. I think it was Boffman that was there that stayed at home around the corner.
Yeah, that's the old wing T waggle play, if you will. The fullback came out in the left flat, and the tailback went to the right. And the quarterback booted left. They're going to kick it here.
Stallions want something, and DeMaceo will come in. He's one of four on field goals. Ironically, the one he made was last week against Canal Winchester, a 55 yards.
Not bad. Not bad.
This is
a tough angle here. It's about as tough an angle as you can get.
A tough angled extra point, basically. This will be a 19-yard attempt, in fact. Does he chip it through? Mm-hmm. He does. And the Stallions take something so they don't go empty-handed away from this drive after the turnover. And it's 7-3 now, some 47 seconds in the second quarter.
Well, it is what we thought it would be. Hard-hitting, tough ground game, and an occasional pass just to keep the other guy a little bit loosey-goosey on defense.
I thought you were going to say they are who we thought they would be, but we let them off the hook.
We let them off the hook. We did.
Coach Green.
Playoffs.
Do everybody, Green, and everybody else too. Mora, you can do Herm Edwards.
You play to win the game.
Thank you very much. We got the trifecta. Hey, thanks for listening online to stgabrielradio.com. And don't forget, after the game of the week, be sure to tune in to AMA 20 Scoreboard Show presented by this week's sports.com. Ryan Baker and Lee Cochran bring you the scores and highlights from the OCC, the City League, the CCL, the Licking County League, and the Mid-State League. That's the AMA 20 Scoreboard Show after the game only on AMA 20 and stgabrielradio.com. If you're going somewhere, you can't listen to your radio or your computer, go to stgabrielradio.com. Get that tune in app as well too. And to get the most up-to-date and complete scores from the OCC City League and all the other leagues, go to the new AMA20scoreboard.com website or follow us on Twitter at AMA20scoreboard. So that was a drive that took 7 plays, 19 yards, 3:57 off the clock. DeMaceo with a 19-yard field goal. We stand at 7-3 with the team that scored 3 booting it.
Out of here.
And Manley says two words, buff and bye. The back of the end zone will bring it out to the 20-yard line. Is that the only funny thing that David Spade ever did?
But bye?
Yeah.
Maybe.
First and 10 from the 20 now. All right, for the Hawks, what has worked well and what do you look for from Bishop Hartley here?
Keep running the football. What they're doing, they're punching holes into DeSales defense right now. They're keeping them a little bit off guard. They threw a couple passes, one halfback pass, one a sprint out pass, and they completed it. So if they can do that occasionally, it'll force DeSales to stay a little bit more vanilla.
From the 20-yard line, they'll have it. One wide to the bottom. Tight set. Looks like Dixon, the lone back in the backfield. That's Culver to the bottom. We got a flag. Did they take too long? Yeah, delay a game.
How do you get delay a game after a kickoff?
I looked at the back judge. I saw the hand go up about 5 or 6 seconds ago, and then I saw him toss the flag.
You lollygag on the field. You lollygag off the field. That makes us lollygaggers.
And Ruby comes to the sidelines now. Now we have whistles from our officiating crew, Mark Riley and company. To mark off the penalty. There we go.
Yeah, you have to move the football.
There you go. Nobody had moved the ball.
Never mind.
It'll be first and 15 from the 15. Penalty normally assumes that there is a consequence.
No.
Ooh, I'm going to write that on the bathroom wall. From the 15.
Boot.
Ruby looking short side, near side, dumps for Manley. He's got it and room. 35-40. 45, the flag go down. He gets out of bounds at midfield, but there's a flag back at the 19-yard line.
Hartley brought one receiver out into the shallow flat, and they ran Manley right in behind him on what we used to call the Y shallow or the Y cross. And he was at about 13 yards right in behind him, and DeSales did not pick him off. They drove the deep defender out. So it was like a flood route. One deep, two underneath.
But somebody else went downfield and ineligible, so that's going to bring it back.
That's illegal?
Even in Canada.
All these rules. Why can't they just let us play?
So now the ball's going back to the 9-yard line. I think the Hawks are going to take a timeout. They're going to regroup with 11:04 left to go, up 7-3. And we'll remind you as we pause for 30 seconds, this is the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. We have a large selection of fresh, off-lease, low-mileage vehicles at great prices. Please visit our website at MiracleMotorMart.com, where you can choose from over 350 vehicles which are priced to sell quickly. We deal with over 20 lenders to arrange your financing needs
with rates as low as 2.9%. Go to MiracleMotorMart.com. You'll be glad you did.
Following an interception, Licking Heights has kicked a field goal. They lead Newark Catholic 3-0 late in the first quarter.
Here it is 7-3, Hartley on top of DeSales. We played 56 seconds of the second quarter on a night that started with 84 degrees and some clouds in the sky. And right now the sun is making its exit for states to the west. Ready for the meat of this contest, and the Hawks trying to see if they can get out of their staccato mode here the last couple of plays. On a first down and 20 from back of the 10, Culver comes from the near side into the middle and gets the handoff, takes it right up the gut and gets maybe a yard, and that is it.
Now that's a design play off the jet sweep where you cut it up inside, and different schools call it a different play, but basically an off-tackle play off the jet sweep.
I don't see that too often now, Hartley, though.
No, they usually just use their wheels and get to the outside.
Looking for something different, and for them it is, a gain of only one.
Jaden Manley was standing in the DeSales backfield. Jaden in it for Hartley until he realized he was offside by about 5 yards.
Second down and 19 from the 11. Backs offset, Comey up man. Dixon now going to exit the backfield, stage right. And on a counter play, Culver looks for a gap, needs a block, can't get it. Great job coming up from the secondary by Joe Arnold to make the play. There was a near block that should have been a block.
Yep. JoJo Arnold did a nice job of playing off the block, and the whole Brandon Darrow did a nice job of defense in because he got caved down initially, but then he stretched it to the outside and cut down the cut-up lane there.
So the ball going to be resting right at the 12-yard line, third and 18 from there for the Hawks. Traditionally a team that doesn't like a third down and long, but then what teams do, and normally they don't throw it, but this time they got two wide to the top and one to the bottom.
That might be window dressing.
Backs offset from the eye. Culver gets the handoff, gives ground to the 5. Looks for a block up to the 10, and wow, he got waylaid at the 13-yard line. That was big number 2 applying the
Jared
message.
Noble.
Yep, Noble got it.
He took him right off his feet. Cameron tried to turn it north and south, and he went east and west in a hurry.
Something the Hawks don't see too often, a punting situation. And Ruby is normally the punter. Mahan filled in for him while Jake was out for a game or so.
And if it wasn't 4th and 15, you might see a fake, even down here.
Ruby, 2 punts on the season for a 41.5-yard average. Little rugby-style move to his right and kicks it downfield. And trying to hunt it down is McNally. He's got it to 34 across the 40, 45 midfield. And puts his head down and just gets as much as he can before he's knocked out of bounds at the Hawk 45-yard line with 8:46 left to go. So the Stallions, excellent field position after the 52-yard punt on the play by Ruby and the 22-yard return on the play by Chris McNally.
Short side of the 50 again. This is the second time they started on the Hartley side of the 50. Last time it came away with 3. This time, obviously, they're looking for 7.
May I say that Scott Rex is the best in the business when it comes to stats?
You say it every week, and it's true every week. He proves us wrong. We say, oh, he's only average. And we find out he's really, really good.
No, I think they say we're average. He's really, really good.
Oh, that's the way it was. I forgot.
Peaks is the last man to check in the backfield. He's going to go wide to the top. Didn't know where he was going at first. Osamoa is the deep man. Booth is the up back now. Two wide to the top. Osamoa gets the handoff, and he's brought down right at the 44-yard line. Nothing there on the play. Good job by the penetration that Hartley front four to stop that play right where it started.
Well, Nick Cohn came off the edge just as DeSales came around the edge to get the Hartley runner. DeSales is trying to get a push up the middle. When that doesn't happen, the edge players can catch these running backs from behind.
Gained about a foot on the play. It's still second down and about 10 as we're ticking down to 8:20 left to go. Hawks lead 7-3 in this one. Second down, toss, it goes to Osamoa, keeps it inside, puts his head down, keeps the legs churning inside the 35 to the 34. I go back to what you said last week, accelerate into the contact.
If the defender comes up to make a tackle and you allow him to keep his timing on the tackle, he'll take you down every time. But if you accelerate into that tackle, you shorten the distance, and it catches the defender by surprise, and you can get a lot of extra yards that way.
Gain of 10 on the play, first down, DeSales. 8:06 left to go. Now we'll crank that clock. They peer to the sidelines to get the information. Cole Silvestri running the show. 19 of 30 passing, 318 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 picks so far on the campaign for 5'11 junior, a transfer from Olentangy Liberty. Hand off, it goes to the up man, that's Booth, and Alonzo gets it down inside the 31. And brought down right there on the play by number 52, Jordan Smith, who changes his number from 48 to 52 because he's seeing time not only in the defensive line, but also in the offensive line as well.
Well, you had to know who was going to get the ball that time because the tailback went in motion. There was only one guy left, and DeSales wasn't going to throw it on first down. Well, probably not going to throw it on first down.
Second down, and let's call it just about six. The ball resting inside the 31-yard line.
Big-time backfield here.
Asamoah time. Sidesteps one defender, gets inside the 27-yard line before he's knocked down on the play. Hit made by number 21, James Reese, who for some reason thought that the Hawks had the football.
I mean, when you put Alonzo Booth at 240 pounds at the fullback, and he can run, and then you put Asamoah at 6'2", 210 at the tailback, and he can run, and they run straight downhill, it can get ugly in a hurry.
And guess what? They're going to beef it up a little bit more now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're bringing Corcoran in now as well, too.
And Ty Van Fossen's in the backfield now.
Yep.
And he's the up back.
For Booth.
For Booth.
A little unbalanced action?
Nope. Three by three.
Straight ahead. They're going to take it. Let's see. Who's got it? And nothing there. Great job on the penetration by the Hawks to shut that down. I'm waiting for the last man. I think it was Boffman that undercut everything. Boffman penetrates to the 28-yard line.
Boffman did a nice job that time. Shed the block, got underneath, and hit him right in the legs to stop the momentum. Fourth and three?
Fourth and three. They're going to mark it at the 27. So, pray tell, what do you do here?
Well, the last time they were down deep, they ran a little bootleg action, and he ran for the... And if they do it again, it'll be open again. It's the same formation. They got a tight end flanker to the wide side. Watch for the boot.
Silvestri.
There's the boot.
Tucks.
He's open in the flats. He's wide
open. Dumps underneath. Pass is complete. Corcoran dropped the ball. Corcoran had the ball and lost the ball. As he spun around, he lost the handle. The Stallion fans can't believe it. They all started cheering. But as Corcoran spun around, he lost the ball. There was some later contact, but I don't think that had anything to do with the reception.
The ball is already gone. He was so wide open. It's just a simple little pattern. He just rolled out to the right. He's wide open in the flats. If he catches that, he might go yard. I mean, he might have gone all the way because if he caught it in stride and just turned it up.
So they go with the boot, as Larry predicted, and that time Corcoran can't hang on, and the Hawks will get it back now with 5:51 left to go. And Brad Birchfield on the field again. Somebody must have called a timeout. We didn't see a signal from the far side of the field, but we must have a timeout because he's out there having a conversation again with Mark Riley. He's not been a happy camper early in this game.
These kind of games bring that out in you. You get grumpy with yourself. You're not even sure why you don't like yourself.
Normally it's the mirror that ticks me off. Who's that old guy?
It just doesn't lie. That's the problem.
That's true.
It would just lie.
So first and 10 for the Hawks from the 27-yard line. 5:51 left to go. And officially that was not a charge timeout. That was just a long, long change of possession.
Maybe it's officials timeout for water.
But no one got any beverage. I didn't see anybody. Unless they have that little hose under their sleeves there. We're not tailgating. Ruby wants to throw downfield. Looks long, and the pass is going to be incomplete. Manley fighting for the ball at the 33-yard line.
Jade Manley actually defended that pass because that pass was overthrown and it should have been intercepted. And it wasn't intercepted, but he broke the pass up.
And McNally was the guy that had the best route to the football, and it was a good job by Jaden to break that up. It was a nice little spiral by Jake Ruby, but McNally was the first of the football, and Jaden became a DB.
So if McNally had stopped and high-pointed the ball instead of letting it come into his lap and catching it low, Jaden Manley would not have been able to make that play.
There's a first-down pass play from the Hawks. What was that?
I'm just swallowing myself. I'm thinking, yes, it was.
Second and 10 for the 27. Culver in motion at the top. Handoff goes to the second man through, and not much there. Dixon got up to the 28-yard line. Picks up one, and then the surge, so the purple up front just push him back.
The thing about that pass is it actually was open if the ball had been thrown to the receiver. I mean, Jaden Manley had inside position to the point where he could have made the play, but the ball was so overthrown that it allowed the defender to actually try to make the play.
So mark the ball right at the 28-yard line. It's going to be third down and nine from there. 5:13 and ticking first half. Hartley leads to Sales 7-3.
Darrow just came out of the off the field for DeSales. Manick is in for him now.
And student body right to the short side. Jake Ruby keeps, and there's absolutely nothing there. Arnold with the penetration, but the guy that really made that play was number 64, Drew McLucky.
Drew McLucky is a beast on the outside. I mean, he is just a tough, physical, he's a typical DeSales defensive, you know, player. I mean, he's just tough, nasty, long and lean, athletic. Good-looking football player. 6'4", 220, 230 pounds.
I can't remember the last time when Hartley allegedly punted twice in a first half. We could see it here. The operative phrase there is could see it.
Yeah.
Ruby standing back at his own 19-yard line. McNally not too certain. He's standing back at his 35. Ruby will punt it. McNally ready for it. Catches it at the 38. Across the 40. Trying to get away, and he cannot. Great pursuit that time by Phillip Cole, who hung onto his ankle and didn't let him go. 34 yards on the punt and 3 yards on the return. I think that 4 yards on the return. With 4:11 left to go, 7-3 the tally, and the Stallions get it back.
Surprises me that on those like fourth and ones or fourth and twos for DeSales or third and twos, that Darius Mullins doesn't come in as an extra blocker, as a tackle or something, and just say, listen, I'm 350 pounds, and I'm just going to bulldoze something.
Put him in the backfield.
He's a road grader. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He looks like a Zamboni machine.
A guy that's committed to play his college football at Indiana. The undefeated Hoosiers.
That's a frightening thing to say in one sentence.
Yeah, it's easy to say early in the season after 2 weeks with them. Can't say it 4 weeks later, though. Handoff goes to Booth, left side, right up that near hash, and gets across the 45 to the 46 before he spins down into play with 4 minutes left to go first half.
That was the counter play. They brought the backside guard and tackle, wrapped them up inside. One kicked out, one wrapped up inside. Booth made a nice run, got 4 yards. I mean, it's downhill running. Good physical football.
Second and six from the 46. Arnold to the top. Corcoran is going to go as a tight end or wing to the top. Van Fossen is the up man. Corcoran is now going to be a tight end. Booth is the deep man. From the eye. Booth time again. Gets the handoff. Alonzo carries defenders up to midfield as Cone stays with him. Also, Casimir does too, and they push him back right at the 50.
It's going to be third and one. Same play. They came right back with the same counter play.
Have to get the totals on Booth here in the first half to see what Alonzo has.
Think about the sales before. Now. We're down to almost 3 minutes here, and with their style of offense, 3 minutes is not a lot of time. I mean, you're talking about seven or eight plays max, and they're at the 50-yard line. So.
Scott tells me 12 carries now for Alonzo, good for 45 yards. They peer to the sidelines with exactly 3 minutes left to go. Arnold to the top. Corkin's going to readjust to the bottom. Van Fossen and Booth from the eye. Silvestri under center on a third down and 1.5. Booth's got it off the left side, finds a gap inside the 45, down to the 43-yard line before he's brought down. Kind of shades of when Hartley had Woodley, you know, and yep. He would go through people, or even Hickman.
Yep, Hickman and Woodley. A lot of nightmares.
It's a 500-pound train when you combine those two guys. First and 10, mark the ball inside the 44 at the 43. Coming up at halftime, on the highlighter, we will talk to Dan Garrick, outstanding principal here at St. Francis DeSales. Todd Bell will talk about Ohio Dominican football. And Ryan will have all the score information you need from all the other games going on. Handoff goes to Booth off the right side. Fights, squirms, gets it down to the 41-yard line before big number 77, Ethan Amaya, says, I've had enough, and pushes him back. Amaya's got the frame. 6'3", about 260, and he is just a junior.
Yep.
But officially, the Stallions still have three timeouts left. The Hawks with two. In a blisteringly fast first half.
Well, the Sales is going to have to pick up the pace here. They're down to the two-minute mark here in another 10 seconds, and they're still at the 41-yard line. That's not a lot of time for a running type of team.
Brian Cromwell, the offensive coordinator, has called the plays for nine of the last 10 years for the Stallions. First and 10 from the check that second down from the 41-yard line, and now we have an encroachment on the defense. A little change in the snap count
there.
So mark it down to the 36. That'll make it second and shorter. They'll need about three. 1:57 left in the half. And remember, DeMaceo had that 55-yarder last week, although they're not thinking three right now.
Second down, 3 yards.
They better pick up the pace.
Silvestri wanted to go through the signals again. Now he's got him. He barks to the left side, barks to the right. Now turns straight back, talks to the running backs, Van Fossen and Asamoah. And Asamoah's got it inside the 30. Keeps churning with the legs to the 25 and brought down at around the 20-yard line. Knocked down by Cameron Culver.
Asamoah just literally ran over Elijah Carter. Now that's twice Elijah Carter's had to take on either Asamoah or Booth or one of those guys in the open field, and he just got trucked that time. There's nothing he can do. He's 160 pounds, and he's taking on 210, 215 pounds, and it's just tough.
Gain of 16 on the play. Asamoah wanted to stay in, but Booth's coming in instead. With 136 left to go, he went out of bounds. So it is a first and 10 now for the Stallions from the 20-yard line. They come up to the line. And the hand went up with the 5 seconds of the back judge. They toss it to Booth off the left side. And Alonzo inside the 17 to about the 16-yard line. 90 seconds left to go. I know they want to milk as much clock as they can, but let's see if there's a timeout taken.
There was. They need some urgency here.
Timeout taken. Mark Riley wants to see by whom. Now he finds out indeed is the Stallions. We'll pause. 125 left to go. Hartley leads 7-3 on the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Newark Catholic gets an interception of their own, and then Hunter Chapman hits Mason Petticord for a touchdown pass. The Green Wave leads Licking Heights 7-3, and after one, they're scoreless at Hagley Field, St. Charles and Watterson.
No comment.
I just looked to Larry.
Don't give me that look.
Welcome up at halftime. Ryan and Lee will have scores from games that have scores. Coming up at the break, along with Todd Bell with a preview of Ohio Dominican football. I'll talk with Dan Garrick on the highlighter about things going on at St. Francis de Sales. Second down and 6 from the 16, 1:28 left to go. Each team with 2 timeouts remaining. It's Van Fossen and Booth from the eye. Corcoran on the wing to the bottom.
Boot pass.
Yep.
There he is.
Boot
open,
to the right.
Wide open.
Dumps underneath. It goes to Van Fossen inside the 10, inside the 5. The ball comes squirting loose along the far side of the field. And it goes out of bounds, and I think he is going to be down inside the 1 yard line.
I'm not sure why that wasn't a touchdown, because the ball got knocked up into the air and it was caught by number 25, Patrick Moriarty, and he thinks he got in the end zone.
But was he in bounds on that far side? I couldn't tell if he didn't have both feet in or not.
And how many feet do you have to have in bounds on a fumble? I don't know. Obviously one, right?
Yeah, and I couldn't tell from this vantage point. We're so far away. So now it's going to be first and goal from the one with 1:19 left to go. Now you got plenty of time.
Now they're going to want to milk the clock. Right?
Booth, undercut, second effort. Does he make it in? Yes, touchdown. The call comes from the far side of the field as Alonzo Booth takes it in for the score. 1:12 left to go, and the Stallions on top now, 9-7.
Well, they couldn't have done it much better. The boot pass, we were talking in during the timeout that I thought this would be a good time for the boot. You know, this is scary. Scary stuff, because the boot pass has been open all night.
So 9-7 the tally. DeMaceo to attempt the extra point.
By the way, for you Wing T fans, that's the waggle play, not the boot pass. But for everybody else, it's a boot pass.
McNally to hold. The snap, the kick, plenty of leg. It is up. It is good. 10-7 the count. 1:12 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
The Bob Boyd way.
Just like that, Licking Heights has answered. They now have a 10-7 lead over Newark Catholic, and Dublin Kaufman has a 14-0 lead over Olentangy.
Wow. But it's early for Olentangy.
Oh, yeah. You got to wait till
they're playing at 11:30, 11:45. That's when they turn it on.
Yep, just wait till midnight.
Booth on a one-yard run. DeMaceo, the PAT, 8 plays, 58 yards, 2:59 off the clock. And then it was 10-7. Now, Hartley's a team that likes to eat it up. With 1:12 left to go, I assume they're going to have to change things up a little bit?
Not necessarily. Listen, they can toss sweep and go 70 yards. They can jet sweep and go 70. They've got great speed. They can strike from anywhere.
DeMaceo with the honors. And here we go. Culver looks at it, and it's going to hit 5 yards deep, so we'll bring it out to the 20-yard line. That is an outstanding weapon to have if you're Ryan Wiggins.
Fantastic weapon. Because, you know, your kickoff team may never get a letter, though. They never actually play the play. You know, they're going to sue for no letter. They get to run their 60 yards down there like they mean it, but it doesn't really matter.
Only you would think of that.
No.
First and 10 for the Hawks. Offensively, what has worked well for them?
For Hartley?
Yes.
Not a whole lot. The DeSales defense early was getting gashed inside, but that's not happening now. The size of DeSales and the athleticism up front, they're just wiping out all the blockers and letting the linebackers run to the football. So it's really good. It's a good game right now for DeSales. Hartley's going to have to find an answer.
Remember, DeSales will get the ball to start the second half, too. And we've got whistles.
Timeout.
Yep, the Hawks are going to burn another timeout. So the Hawks take their second timeout. They have one remaining. Brad Birchfield has not been a happy camper on in many levels here in this first half, and I'm sure he'll carry that over in the locker room at halftime. Now they have baby powder in the student section and sparklers, or some kind of light. Actually, it's a light, not a sparkler. Maybe off their phones.
Probably their cell phones.
Along the far side.
Sure does look pretty.
Flashlight, starlight, star bright. The first star I see tonight. I look to my right.
I wish I might.
I see Larry Wolf. All right, let's go back to the studio for a second. Guys, any thoughts about this contest so far? Ryan and Lee, back in the studios of AMA 20.
Well, Randy, I'm a little surprised that we haven't had more offense so far. Just 10-7. Obviously, both teams running the ball. We knew that. We knew the first half would go through quickly. I thought maybe we'd see a little more score. I thought we'd see like a 21-17 game right now, not the 10-7 score that we've got.
And now we've got a first and 10, Ryan, from the 20. 1:12 left to go. Hartley, last three drives, 21 yards, no first downs.
They've only had the ball four drives.
Two backs in the backfield. They readjust Cone. They readjust Dixon. One wide to either side. It's Culver to the top, by the way. And they're going to burn another timeout, and they throw the flag. But are they going to wave off the flag for the delay of game? Did they not get the timeout in time? Or, yes, they did. Wow, this is so uncharacteristic of a Hartley team. They have now burned their third and final timeout. Back-to-back timeouts.
Well, coming off a kick, if you haven't run a play yet, you burn two timeouts. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on, because in the first one, they weren't aligned properly. I understood that. The slot wasn't lined up on the line. I get it. I don't know what was going on. When you call a timeout, you ought to figure this out. And I know Brad's not a happy camper about that.
Well, you know what they call this, don't you? An NFL TV timeout, yeah. Basically. Because yeah. That's what happens after a kickoff. You wait for an hour and a half before you start the game up again. So now they've burned their full allotment of three timeouts. So if they need something, they're out of timeouts in the last 1:12 of this half, down 10-7 to DeSales.
Well, here's the thing. If they don't do something on first down, DeSales will wait till second down, call timeouts. And they'll burn their timeouts, and they'll get the ball back on the short side of the 50 with maybe 20 seconds to go in the half. And it sounds crazy, but they got a field goal kicker and kick it.
Manley and McNally to the top there, one-on-one. Culver to turn the corner. Cameron, 30. Cameron, 40. Culver midfield, 40. 35, 30. Culver, 20. 15, and goes down and goes out of bounds. Cameron Culver, but there's a flag back upfield at the 25-yard line. And it's coming back. I think it's a block in the back against Hartley.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hartley had him outmanned. They had both running backs offset to the left in an I formation over the tackle. They ran the jet sweep into the boundary. They had a wall of blockers out there, and somebody did something they shouldn't have done.
That was a 70-yard gain that got negated down to the 10-yard line.
And that's what we were just talking about. You know, you were talking about, do they have to pass it? No, they don't. They've got the ability to get outside and go.
And now they're going to march the ball back from the spot of the infraction, mark it back to the 15-yard line. Wow.
And
It didn't look like a surprising play. It was just, it seemed like executed well until somebody blocked in the back.
It was executed perfectly, except for either the block in the back or the hold, whatever they call it.
1 minute left. First and 15.
Same formation, flip this way. Here comes.
Not this time. They're going to keep it. Ruby, he'll cut it to the left side. Nearly broke it. Got up to the 22-yard line before he's brought down on the play by Chris McNally. McNally knocks him down for a gain on the play. The clock continues to circulate right now. 45 seconds in moving.
Well, the Sales will now be happy to let that clock run.
At the 22. Second down and eight. 36 seconds left in the half. One wide to either side. Backs offset in the backfield. Culver in motion. Bottom to top. Culver gets the handoff this time across the 25 and picks his openings and only can get to around the 27 before he goes out of bounds. He'll stop the clock with 25 ticks left to go.
Well, now the Sales will use their last timeout on fourth down. If Hartley does not get a first down on this play, the Sales will burn a timeout and make them punt it.
Would you?
Absolutely.
Knowing that Hartley could go for it even on fourth down.
Even on fourth down, let him go for it. They got 70 yards to go, but if you get a punt and you've still got one timeout left, you get one completion, you can kick a 55-yard field goal. You've got the weapon to do it.
Demacio did that last week. Third down and three from the 27, 25 ticks left. One wide either side. On the delay, it goes to Dixon. Dixon goes nowhere. Knocked down at the 27-yard line. They peer to the sidelines. Ryan Wiggins puts hands on hip. And he does not signal for a timeout. Let's see if the Hawks even opt to do anything.
He's going to let it run.
Down to 10. And Brad Birchfield and the Hawks coming onto the field with two, with one, and that will do it. It is halftime. The Sales on top 10-7. And Larry, your thoughts about the first half. Uncharacteristic performance by Hartley in the last couple minutes, and the Stallions, though, did the things they had to do to get the lead.
Incredibly physical contest. I mean, I've been watching in the trenches all night, and I'm telling you, it is just big guys just banging on each other all night, and they're negating a lot of the Hartley speed to the perimeter. The DeSales secondary is coming up hard, and they're really doing a good job of supporting. Hartley needs to get their running game inside the tackles going. I don't know if that's going to happen. DeSales needs to do what DeSales does, which is keep pounding with those big running backs.
And a couple of huge plays for Hartley negated by penalties, yep, including that 70-yard run by Cameron Colvin.
Well, you're blocking some outstanding athletes on the perimeter. And when you do that, you're not going to get as good a piece of them as you'd like. And, you know, this is not Hartley playing. It's like playing Toledo Central Catholic. It's what they're doing again tonight. It's the same kind of team. It's a big, physical, tough football team.
10-7 to Sales leads at the half. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'll have Dan Garrick, the principal here at St. Francis de Sales, on the highlighter. Also hear from Todd Bell about action going on for Ohio Dominican. And Ryan and Lee will run down all the scores from all the contests so far in week number four. At the break, again, de Sales on top of Hartley, 10-7. This is the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education for